life. Amen.
Amen.
In Amos 6 in our Bible study. And we're going to start on page 70 of the Praise Book. How beautiful heaven must be. You're going to try to get your blood pressure up a little bit. Keep on the firing line.
Amen.
We got a nice little Second Amendment plaque down here. How do you like that?
Amen.
Oh, and while I'm thinking of it, did somebody... No. But we don't always announce what everybody gives us. Did anybody lose this little thing here? It looks like it goes in somebody's phone or something. It was sitting back there by Doug.
Oh, it's John Sayers.
It's red.
Oh, yes. Thank you.
You're welcome.
It's part of my camera.
Okay.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I want to go that way.
Thank you.
I remember something.
Perfect. Congrats.
Well, at least you didn't step on it and crush it.
That's right.
That's something.
Thank you.
47, let's sing Keep on the Firing Line.
If you're in the battle for the Lord and right, keep on the firing line. If you win my brother, surely you must fight. Keep on the firing line. There are many dangers that we all must face. If we die for fighting, it is no disgrace. Cowards in the service will not find a place. So keep on the firing line. Oh, you must fight, be brave.
Leads me on through him, I must win. Oh, I want to
That's it, yeah. We used to sing this old church, and every time we come to that verse, then my Lord directs my bark, and there'll be a fellow in the back go, whoa! No, it wasn't me. It's an old guy. At that time, I wasn't old yet. We got cards. They're right behind that thing. All right, onliners. Send your prayer question to bbfohioprotonmail.com if you haven't already.
Well, that was neat. I like that. Mm-hmm. That was neat.
And raise your hand. Janie will give you a card and pencil. No yawning.
Hey, it's not during service yet.
That doesn't matter. Sound checks. After I get this thing hooked up here. Hooked on something. Have a standby there. Right. And we got all zoomed in. Looks like you're on top of that.
Say we're good.
May I have your attention, please? Please silence your cell phone. Please silence your cell phone. Update. I feel like I'm forgetting something though. Is there something I'm supposed to mention? I don't think so. If I think of it, I'll bring it up later, I guess. Current events update. Number one, headline comparison. Can you catch the connection? New Zealand COVID deaths soar to record high as Omicron wreaks havoc. Scientists claim nation is vulnerable because it spent too long under hermit China-styled eradication strategy. They're also one of the most vaccinated countries in the world. New Zealanders reportedly died of COVID vaccines.
Amen.
More died from the vaccine than the infection itself.
Wow.
Surprise.
Government data shows fully vaxxed account for more than 90% of COVID deaths in the UK.
Wow.
Not on regular news media, though. So the kill-off continues. I believe that's what this is all about. And people think that's a little radical, but I'll tell you, if you believe that the rapture can happen at any moment, that the world is set up and ready for Antichrist, how can you not believe what you see with your eyes?
Amen.
You know, I think when people say, oh, I just don't believe. I mean, you don't listen to these people. If you listen to the speeches at the World Economic Forum, if you read the stuff that these people are putting out, the elites that we're going to talk about in our study tonight,
They're
a bunch of godless Darwinians who believe in the survival of the fittest, and you and I are like flies that they can swat. And then there's this. This is on a website in New Zealand I just saw, happened to see. Unite Against COVID-19. You can get free rats and face masks.
Really?
I would want rats.
Why would you want rats? That stands for rapid antigen tests. Yeah, I think I would too. But I think it's a fitting name for that test.
Yeah.
Rats. Meanwhile, the too little too late apologies continue. Danish newspaper says, I'm sorry, so sorry. It's a little late for it. A Danish newspaper has apologized to its readers for not questioning the government's data and narratives more throughout the first 2 years of the pandemic. While we were being lambasted and people are being canceled on social media for simply telling people the truth, the news media, many of whom belong to these world government organizations, many of them are members of the CFR, many of them are Jesuits, many of them are Masons, and so forth. But there are some who aren't, and they're just that pliable. They can be easily manipulated. And now they're waking up to it. This was a comment from the paper, statement from the paper. We have not been vigilant enough at the garden gate when the authorities were required to answer what it actually meant that people are hospitalized with corona. I'll emphasize the word they didn't emphasize, with corona and not because of corona. Now, some of you are old enough to remember when I stood up here back in 2020 telling you, and since then remind you over and over, that people with COVID are being counted, even though they don't even have symptoms. Yep. Even when they go to the hospital for something like an automobile accident, and when they die, even if it's from an automobile accident, a heart attack, shot in the head, doesn't matter. If they test positive for COVID, they counted them as a COVID death so as to lie and manipulate you. Yep. And these people are admitting they were not vigilant enough because it makes a difference, a big difference. You think? Exactly. The official hospitalization numbers have been shown to be 27% higher than the actual figure for how many there are in the hospital simply because they have corona. We only know that now. I don't believe them. I believe they're just like a lot of the Nazis when they got caught said, we didn't know that that's what they were doing with those ovens. Number two, interest rates continue to rise with no end in sight. The economic crash is setting the stage for the mark of the beast.
Yep.
The Fed today unleashed another big rate hike of 0.75 percentage points. That's a lot of money if you get a house or a car, even. A lot of cars are $40,000 and $50,000, and you put a interest hike of 0.75% on that. The Federal Reserve has raised interest rates by 75 basis points with more rate hikes expected in the coming weeks and months to curb inflation. Inflation continues to rise with those hiked interest rates. This is from the U.S. Inflation Calculator. The annual inflation rate for the United States for the 12 months that ended last month, 9.1%.
Wow.
That's the highest it's been since I was old enough to understand what this is.
It's a lie on the low side.
Huh?
It's still a lie on the low side.
Yeah, it's on the low side. You always, no matter what they say, unemployment rates, all that, are always on the, they're lowballing it.
Yes.
And they're still setting records. The largest annual increase since November 1981. I was 11 years old. And this is according to U.S. Labor Department data. So like he was saying, you do your own research, you'll find out it's probably closer to about 19%, 20%. And the next inflation update is scheduled for August 10th. So pop some popcorn, get ready for that. So 9.1%, even their number, which is lowballed, the question then is, what's your pay raise going to be this year? Most people are getting 0% pay raises.
Yeah.
The people I do know are getting pay raises, so it's 1% or 2%. Every once in a while, you find somebody it's 3% or 4%. But you won't find hardly anybody unless somehow they're in a contract which says whatever the inflation rate is what my pay raise is, which there are some people who sign those kind of contracts, government workers, for example. And they'll get a 9% raise.
Wow.
Liberal policies benefiting woke corporations. I've told people who are considering joining unions. 25 years ago, preachers preached a lot of, actually about joining unions, said, you know, you shouldn't join a union because they're left wing. They support all these communist socialist policies. They blah, blah, blah. What are you going to do now? All the corporations that are non-union are a bunch of woke-tards.
Well, they are.
They're all supporting abortion. They're all supporting Sodom and Gomorrah. They're all Marxist corporate. They think they're in this communist corporate thing they're building in America to match what's going on in China.
Yep.
What they're not telling you is China is almost in a depression right now. And you won't find that out through your fake news media. But in China, things are getting desperate. And these policies, these woke policies from woke corporations are destroying families. This is from an anonymous guy out there on social media, but it's true. He says, I'm giving him credit even though I was thinking along the same lines. Quote, don't believe me? The Federal Reserve just reported that U.S. corporate profits are up 25%.
Wow.
So we have the highest inflation in 40 years and the highest corporate profits in 50. Only a fool or a liar wouldn't make the common sense connection. This is all by design. It is to bring Americans down to a third world level income. While the elites tell you to eat cake. And I am not calling for armed revolution. But what I'm telling you is there's going to be. People will only put up with this for so long. Meanwhile, Biden and his supporters continue to brag about $4 a gallon gasoline.
Yeah, it came down.
It was half that, around $2 a gallon, when he took office. But how many people you know are so stupid or brain dead or not cognizant, like Biden himself, who don't remember that when he was elected, they were paying about $2 a gallon?
Yep.
They only remember that 2 weeks ago it was $5 a gallon, now it's $4. Oh, bless Biden.
They all took that shot and their brains fried.
Now, tomorrow, the GDP is going to be announced. That's the total value of goods produced and services provided in any particular country during 1 year. And tomorrow, our GDP will be announced, but they already have leaked out that it's going to be down for the second quarter in a row for the first time in history.
Yep.
Even during times of recession, America has still been able to at least hold their own when it comes to GDP. Not making things, but one of the reasons is because it killed off a bunch of people who aren't consuming.
Yep.
When you kill off the people who are consuming, then the supply and demand shifts.
Yep.
You don't make as much, you don't supply as much because the demand is down.
Amen.
Then when you get rid of the America First trade policies that the previous administration had, and you go to the America Last policies our present administration has, then you also don't make as much because you're not exporting as much.
Amen.
And then there's this.
It was Rosie the Riveter, who I actually got to meet, quite frankly, before she passed away.
This is who he's talking about, Rosie the Riveter. Rosie the Riveter is an allegorical cultural icon, not a real person. Joe Biden says he met a fake person before she died, quite frankly.
All they have to do is on the news tell you the real things that comes out of that guy's mouth, and no one would think he was in his right mind. I mean, not the corn, you got corn pop and all that, you know, the business. You got, he's claiming, the other day he said he had cancer. And then he had COVID after telling everybody that when he got the shot, he couldn't get COVID.
Right.
I mean, on and on and on the statements go.
Jessica? Wasn't it Rosie the Riveter a long time ago?
Long.
He was a kid.
Was he?
Yeah. But she wasn't real. That's the point.
Yeah, okay.
It's like saying, I met Bugs Bunny. Well, you might have met Chuck Smith or whoever did the voice. What was his name? Chuck something. What was his name? Chuck. Oh, I thought it was Chuck Smith, but now I'm thinking.
Mel Blanc.
Mel Blanc, yeah.
80 years ago.
Well, and they used her stuff up till, you know, into the 50s. So he was probably a kid when it happened, but again, you can't meet a cartoon.
That's funny.
Jessica, you had another?
Yeah. It was about the people. I was going to say something about being in the hospital. When I went, they had me go to the hospital.
Yeah.
And about the COVID thing, they said I had COVID. I never even got a test.
Yeah.
But they said I had it. But I think it was just double pneumonia.
Yeah.
From the mask.
Yeah. Yeah, but you're probably COVID. Right. There are a lot of people who didn't ever have COVID, but they had pneumonia and were told they had COVID.
Yep.
Yeah.
Jill?
All right. Quick point. 610 said that the more shots you get, the more likely you are to get COVID.
Yeah. Yeah, that's another thing. I've been looking for some real hard evidence of that, but I've heard that.
That's what 610 was saying. Now, on the other hand, I talked to a lady who had an electric car. She said that if she wanted to go to Zanesville, she would have to spend the night in order to get her car charged. She can't go more than 300 miles without charging it. So the only way it would work is if you would only drive a few miles a day.
Yeah.
And
we had the same.
An electric charger she got for it.
Yeah.
Because to put it on the house to charge, it would take way too long.
It would make your electric bill double. David Traylor online was saying the same thing. You know, he drives around the state of Ohio, and he couldn't make the trip daily if he was to use an electric car.
And she was saying, so if you're going to get one, you need to consider the fact that
aren't very many people we even know who could afford one, so.
Well, even if you could afford it, you can't go anywhere.
Brian?
Why do you think this booster is designed to destroy your immune system so that you will be susceptible to anything?
Yeah.
The other comment I wanted to make is that coming to a theater near you, I don't know if you saw this, but in China, all checking and savings accounts have been declared that they've been made investment accounts, so nobody's allowed to make a withdrawal. And there are tanks in the streets to prevent riots.
Yeah, I was wondering if anybody here had seen this stuff. You know,
I heard about that.
You can't get your money out of the bank in China, and they've got tanks in the street and soldiers to keep people from committing acts of violence to try to get their money. And
yeah, I heard about that. Hey, to do this.
It's working. Yeah. All right, John, this will be the last one, and we'll get into
it. The two countries he named Denmark and New Zealand. Denmark is considered one of the most X-rated countries in the world. New Zealand is number two. And New Zealand, 20 years ago, has banned all missionaries to go there.
Mm.
So I think that's interesting. Those are number one and number two for X-rated stuff. And lifestyles, and that's what's happening there. Also, in the Panama Canal, they're having riots now because they can't get food because there's no food on the shelves. And
check the breaker.
The inflation is killing them there. And then Italy is supposedly getting ready to go bankrupt.
Except for
except the Vatican Square.
That sounds kind of like that.
Yeah.
There you go. No, I heard about having a fancy hotel, but then they have a lot of high walls and all around them is poverty while they're uber rich.
That's socialism. That's the way it always works. Socialism always has the elites live like kings and everybody else is in poverty. That's the way it always, and as Margaret Thatcher was famous for saying, the problem with socialism is you eventually run out of everyone else's money. In Venezuela, they could be the wealthiest nation on earth, and for a while they were because they were the state was controlling the oil and spreading the wealth. But the socialist state then started taking care of everybody, welfare state, and everything like that. Well, then they jumped on board with the Chinese and the communists, and so one thing led to another, and now they're eating their pets. And they've probably eaten all their pets, and they're vegans by force now, not by choice. All right, let's get into our Bible study here in Amos 6. It actually carries on with our current events update most weeks because of the situation in Israel at the time. Amos is prophesying. Ask Brother Jim if you would open Bible study prayer.
Lord, Father, we ask your blessing over the service tonight. Thank you for what pastors prepared. Lord, we can have heavy hearts, but our hope is not in America. It's not in our president. It's in you, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
We're just so thankful that we can go to you. We can cast our cares at your feet, Lord, because you care for us. We just thank you, Lord, for renewing our spirits tonight, for renewing our hope, Lord, with your word. We just ask your blessing, Lord, for all of this in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Okay.
All right, we're going to be in Amos 6, but we're going to line up our readers tonight. First, James chapter 5, verses 1 through 3, Charles, and verses 4 through 6, Olivia, and then Proverbs 16, 16 through 19, Brian, and then 1 Peter 5, 5 through 7, Johnny, and then Ephesians 3, 14 through 16, Jessica, and Ephesians 3, 17 through 21, Kim. All right. Yours is Ephesians 3, 14 to 16. Everybody got it?
I'm running back on tomorrow.
Now, I'm not picking on anybody, but have your text ready when we call on you so we don't have to wait 5 minutes. That's the whole, it's very important that you read, be ready to read as the microphone gets to you. All right, we're in Amos chapter 6, verses 1 through 14. And if you wonder, the reason why I have you all read is because I'm not saying this is true about you, but I know some people, if they weren't forced to read in church, they'd never read their Bible. And so then they read in church, and they actually then are catapulted. It kind of springs them to read their Bible on their own. But then it's also true that people around you see you reading your Bible, and yes, we make a mistake of pronunciation once in a while, or maybe we don't know how to pronounce a word. And you know what? They find out it's no big deal.
Amen.
And so you do the best you can. The more you read it, the more you'll learn how to pronounce those words and those names. And so we have several reasons for doing that. But I'd also like to have you participating. I am not Guru Greg. I'm Pastor Greg. And hearing my voice isn't important. What's important is for you to hear God's voice.
Amen.
And the only way you're going to hear God's voice isn't audible or in your head or through some vision or dream in this dispensation. It's right there. Amen?
Amen.
It's in the book. All right. So we're going to read the first 14 verses together. I'm going to have you read. I'm going to have you read the even verses with me. So I'll start in verse 1. Woe to them that are at ease in Zion, and trust in the mountain of Samaria, which are named chief of the nations to whom the house of Israel came. Pass ye unto Calneh, and see, and from thence go ye to Hamath the great. Then go down to Gath of the Philistines. Be they better than these kingdoms, or their border greater than your border? Ye that put far away the evil day, and cause the seed of violence to come near, that lie upon beds of ivory, and stretch themselves upon their couches, and eat the lambs out of the flock, and the calves out of the midst of the stall, that chant to the sound of the viol, and invent to themselves instruments of music like David, that drink wine in bowls, and anoint themselves with the chief ointments, but they are not grieved for the affliction of Joseph. Therefore now shall they go captive with the first that go captive, and the banquet of them that stretch themselves shall be removed. The Lord God hath sworn by himself, saith the Lord, the God of hosts, I abhor the excellency of Jacob, and hate his palaces. Therefore will I deliver up the city with all that is therein. And it shall come to pass, if there remain 10 men in one house, that they shall die. and a man's uncle shall take him up, and he that burneth him, to bring out the bones out of the house, and shall say unto him that is by the sides of the house, Is there yet any with thee? And he shall say, No. Then shall he say, Hold thy tongue, for we may not make mention of the name of the Lord. For behold, the Lord commandeth, and he will smite the great house with breaches, and the little house with clefts. Shall horses run upon the rock? Will one plow there with oxen? For ye have turned judgment into gall, and the fruit of righteousness into hemlock. Ye which rejoice in a thing of naught, which say, Have we not taken to us horns by our own strength? But behold, I will raise up against you a nation, a house of Israel, saith the Lord, the God of hosts, and they shall afflict you from the entering in of Hemath unto the river of the wilderness. Amen?
Amen.
All right. Beelzebub's in the room. The big old...
The Lord of the Flies?
What was that?
I'm not going to say
it. Beelzebub,
yeah.
I love you, Johnny.
So verse 1, woe to them that are at ease in Zion. That's the phrase that we took as the title of the study. We see this in America today. Godless arrogance and denial while spiraling toward national disaster. That's what I see of most people, including most professing Christians today. They are just... arrogant and in denial while we're spiraling toward national disaster. It's just a couple headlines from today on OAN. Biden administration dismisses recession concerns ahead of looming GDP report. No big deal. And what are most of his supporters saying? Yeah, no big deal. And Biden sells more oil reserve as energy prices spike in Europe. The purpose of the oil reserve is to have the oil in case of a national emergency. Mm-hmm. And it's not an emergency what's going on now. If they would just allow for drilling and for the processing, they have the leases, and they lie and pretend that we've got plenty of leases and all that, but you also have to have permits that allow you to do the work. And that's what they're holding up. And it's like the government, you know, let's say you need a car to drive, and you need to be able to drive your car when you work. And the government gives you a driver's license, but then won't renew your tag. You'd be saying, wait a minute, I've got the license, but I don't have the tag for my car.
Yeah.
Well, we've given plenty of licenses. Yeah, and we need our tags. And that's the game that the Biden administration is playing with everybody right now. And they're driving us to disaster, as Pete Buttigieg, good, whatever his name is, the head of the Department of Transportation, is. And, you know, this is causing people to have to buy energy efficient, the phrase they like to use, electric vehicles. Well, as Jill explained, her friends explained to her, and Brother David Traylor was telling people online the other day, as if you have to drive more than a couple of hours, the thing dies. And then if the grid goes down, or as you see in some places, they were showing pictures of these stations along the highways that are completely flooded right now. And try to charge a car in there, it'd be an electric experience, wouldn't it?
Electric cars also, their batteries can cost like $11,000.
Somebody bought one of those cars, and when the battery went out, found out it cost more than a car to replace it. That was in the news last week.
Yeah, that's what I saw.
So you also see the current events, if you missed it, if you don't quite get the message yet. But the warning here is very specific. Woe to them that are at ease in Zion. And I've heard that actually preached completely opposite of what that means here. And they say, woe, they're talking to the church, you know, member. Woe to you who are at ease in Zion. You ought to be serving the Lord and doing what you ought to do. True, but doesn't have anything to do with this text. This text is about Zion in apostasy, being told God's about to wipe you out. and they're just at ease. But doesn't that sound familiar? Remember what Jesus said? It'd be as it was in the days of Lot and as the days of Noah. They buy, they sell, marry, and, you know, what they say, drink and be merry. That's the attitude. Cheers! And the misguided arrogance is obvious in that phrase, in that verse 2. And trust in the mountain of Samaria. What's that mean? Basically saying they're trusting in the fact that they're at least the elites can all run up to the top of that hill, and it's very difficult to attack that top of that hill in Samaria. It's very well fortified, and they were cocky. And they thought, well, they kill off a bunch of the little people, but all of us elites up here on the mountain, we'll be safe. Well, they found out otherwise. And remember the story of Masada? They thought it was impregnable too. Mm-hmm. It's an amazing story of how the Romans got up to that top of that hill, and then they all committed suicide instead of allowing the Romans to take them prisoner. Yep. The story of Tyre we talked about a couple weeks ago, out in the ocean. They thought Alexander will never get us here. Well, God had prophesied, as we've been studying in Isaiah 22, 23, he's going to let Tyre fall. So what happened? Alexander tore down everything on land and built a bridge. And built that bridge out to the, and they bombed him and tried to keep him from being able to finish that land bridge. And so he had some ships come down out of the north and start attacking the rear side of the little island city of Tyre. And next thing you know, he was able to finish it, and Tyre was history. This is a quote. It was as if Samaria was the place where they stored their atom bombs. They thought, that's the attitude, like it couldn't be defeated on the Mount Samaria. We were safe here from anybody. It was the capital of the northern kingdom. Ahab and Jezebel had lived there, and lovely palaces of ivory were built there. We talked about that before. The mountains of Samaria provided such excellent natural fortifications that the city was able to stand the Assyrian siege for 3 years before it fell. 3 years is a long time, but it still fell. And when it fell, that was no consolation that they lasted 3 years, because they were all either killed or taken captivity. And it says, with all this luxury and excellent fortifications, Israel felt secure and well protected. As J. Vernon McGee said that back in the 80s. Wow. And it's true of the United States of America today. People are just so used to being free of war.
Yeah.
People in America are so desperate to be supportive of someone in war that they adopt countries like Ukraine. And you drive down the road here, you see Ukraine flags in people's yards.
Yep.
I just think, what kind of moron lives there? But, well, after the rapture, we know for sure that the United States of America is going to get plenty of war. They're going to get a taste of the war. Yeah, John?
Yeah. Romania, they were so glad to get rid of the Nazis after World War II. But 3 years later, here came the Russians.
Yeah.
Everyone that helped the Russians take control was either dead or in prison within 5 years.
Yeah.
All of them.
Yeah, whenever every time that happened in Russia and China and everywhere, whenever the communists take over, after they get control, the so-called socialists and liberals, they kill off.
Yep.
Because that's actually who they see as the biggest threat to their authority, their power.
Yeah.
The rest of the world is so poor and destitute and everything, the rest of the country, they don't have any problem with them.
Amen.
But then they start killing them off for philosophical or political reasons. And so that's why they all go into the millions of killing them off. Doug?
Where's that country at that you're talking about, that Tyre? Where's that at?
Right here, it's in modern day, it's in North Israel. But it's on the map, you see Galilee. And just a little north of Galilee, you'll see Tyre.
I know it's spelled differently.
T-Y-R-E, yeah.
Yeah, somebody punched a hole in that tire.
Yeah. Badoons.
Yeah, thank you.
He's here all week. So God reminds...
They were retired.
God reminds them that military defense did not save the nations around them. That's what we see there in the next verse. Pass ye unto Calneh and see. From thence go ye to Hamath the Great. Then go down to Gath the Philistines. To Americans, you might say, hey man, didn't military might and everything didn't keep Greece from falling. Didn't keep Rome from falling. Fast forward, didn't keep Great Britain from falling. The empire where the sun never set. Sure ain't that now.
Yep.
And Calneh is Persia, and it fell. Hamath is in Syria, it fell. Gath of Philistia, all fell to Assyria, and then later to Babylon.
But didn't Britain have a thing or something where anybody that went against the Jewish people from Egypt all the way up through, it seemed like that they kind of 1800s.
Well, that's one of the common denominators with the Jews. Then after Jesus Christ came, those same countries persecuted the church, Christians. And Great Britain, even though they came out from underneath Rome, and yet the Anglican church persecuted all non-Anglicans, not just the Catholics, but the Baptists and others. And whenever the pilgrims came over here, it was to get away from the Anglicans. So we're just as fortified.
They were.
Calneh in Persia, Hamath in Syria, Gath and Philistia were just as fortified, but fell to Assyria. God's asking them to look around. The Lord now lists the activities of the godless elites that are about to fall. They're in verses 3 through 6. Ye that put far away the evil day. In other words, it ain't going to happen to us. It'll never happen to us. That's exactly the mindset of America. And that includes, it includes the Laodicean Christians. The people, when you try to talk about current events, they don't want to hear it.
True.
You try to talk about Bible prophecy, they just think you're a nut. And cause the seed of violence to come near. And that's, it may not look at it at first glance, but that's the counter side, the flip side to Ronald Reagan's doctrine of peace through strength. When you display weakness and you become so prosperous that you become weak and your men become women, when your men become women. And as I said Sunday, if you look it up, this last trip they made over there to NATO and Israel, and they had two men dressed like Colonel Klinger, or whatever his name was, Corporal Klinger, on MASH. Supposed to take our country seriously when you got these two cross-dressing transvestites representing your country.
They're in the military?
They're heads of government agencies. And that Richard Levine, who calls himself Rachel, was in a military uniform when he spake.
Wow.
Navy. Verse 4, that lie upon beds of ivory and stretch themselves upon their couches. This describes a lot of people on welfare in this country.
Yeah.
It's not just the really rich people living like that. The people on welfare, and I don't mean to disparage anybody, but if you're on welfare and you shouldn't be on it, then I don't care what you think. If you're on welfare and you should be on it, then fine. But most people on welfare in this country shouldn't be on it.
Amen.
And they're also cheating the system and selling pot or doing other things that they shouldn't be doing to make money under the table illegally. And so that's why you see them driving nicer cars than you own.
Yep.
Living in nicer houses than you might live in. Dressed to the T, you know? They all got their iPhones and their iPads or whatever, you know, people are using these days. They don't go without anything. Stretch themselves upon their couches and eat the lambs out of the flock. Bunch of obese, lazy people sitting around watching TV. And the calves out of the midst of the stall. Verse 5, that chant to the sound of the viol. That's funny they said it, chant instead of sing. Because about most of the music that's popular today, it's just a bunch of chanting, right, talking, and so-called hip-hop garbage. I can't understand a word they're saying.
It's better than what I hear at the Swan.
Sound like a pretty baby?
What for after church?
It, just think about it, what that music sounds like. It doesn't sound like it's not. It's chanting and it's talking and everything. It's not even music.
Jelly.
And the calves out of the midst of the stall that chant to the sound of the violin and invent to themselves instruments of music like David, that drink wine in bowls. That means they're drinking it heavily.
A lot of it.
A lot of drinking heavy. And anoint themselves with the chief ointments. You come into some of the poorest areas of this town, and I can't hardly breathe from all the stench of all the ointments. Perfumes, hair products, you name it. They don't have enough money to pay their bills, so the government has to pay their bills, but then they got money for all that. Most of them have money for cigarettes and things, too. That's what this is. But they are not grieved for the affliction of Joseph. So to this point, they had kept themselves insulated from the losses of the non-elites who lived around them. See, they're all living high. And I was just pointing out, in America, we don't even have that disparity between the elite and the poor. The elite, really, they just have maybe bigger houses, maybe a little nicer cars. They may have stocks and bonds and savings accounts and things, real estate holdings, that kind of thing. But as far as practical daily living, there's not a lot of difference. And but they're not grieved for the affliction of Joseph, meaning they're totally just putting it out of sight of mind, because it's all about thinking. It's all about how you think. If you just be positive. Just be positive. And if anybody starts to point out that America is going to hell and about to fall in the judgment of God, get away from those people. They're toxic. That's just toxic. They're negative. Don't surround yourself with negative people like that. That's what they're saying. They are not grieved for the affliction of Joseph. They look around and instead of seeing the reality, they surround themselves with a bunch of people that only say what they need to or want to hear. And most churches preach in that. That's what you're going to hear most of the churches you attend in this country. Even as America goes to hell.
Yep.
In verse 7, therefore now shall they go captive with the first that go captive, and the banquet of them that stretch themselves shall be removed. So when Israel falls, these elites that are choosing to live in a dream world, not face reality and talk about reality, and the most important thing is they're not willing to face that reality and repent. Then God says what Brother John was just explaining, when the communists take over. These elites are the first to be executed or taken into captivity. And that's what happened. When Assyria came through, later when Babylon comes through and takes the south, they took the elites and marched them off to execution. They took the children that were, we say, young adults. They were in their early 20s and below. They took them to Babylon and turned them into Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah.
Yep.
Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego.
Belshazzar.
Yeah. And that's exactly, Daniel wasn't guilty, or they, the three Hebrews, as we call them, they ended up surviving the furnace of fire. They weren't bad children. They just happened to be born into families that were apostates in an apostate nation. And so, you know, remember when Hezekiah was told, it won't happen in your lifetime, but after you're dead and gone, your children and your grandchildren are going to be taken off as captives. That's Daniel and the three Hebrews, that's who that prophecy is about.
Yep.
These people don't care. Scripture with scripture, we refer you to this often regarding the coming judgment of the untouchable elites. We've read this. James 5, I think, Charlie, you're there. James 5, 1 through 3. And think of James, the Jew, writing this letter to the 12 tribes scattered. And he's really talking about the end time fulfillment of the exact same thing we're reading about here in Amos 6. Go ahead.
Go to now, ye rich men. Weep and howl for your miseries that shall come upon you. Your riches are corrupted, and your garments are moth-eaten. Your gold and silver is cankered, and the rust of them shall be a witness against you, and shall eat your flesh as it were fire. Ye have heaped treasure together for the last days.
Does that make you want to be Bill Gates?
Nope.
George Soros? Warren Buffett? Ted Turner? Fill in the blank. And then we read verses 4 through 6. Olivia, go ahead and read that.
Behold the hire of the laborers who have reaped down your fields, which is of you kept back by fraud, crieth. And the cries of them which have reaped are entered into the ears of the Lord of Sabaoth. Ye have lived in pleasure on the earth and been wanton. Ye have nourished your hearts as in a day of slaughter. Ye have condemned and killed the just, and he doth not resist you.
We don't have time to go into that. We went through James. Meditate on that sometime compared to those headlines we read tonight. Their day is coming. R.G. Lee would say, there's a payday someday. And then verse 7, be patient therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. So it's just a reminder not to take matters into your own hands. But there is coming a payday. And then verse 8, back in Amos 6, the Lord God hath sworn by himself, saith the Lord, the God of hosts, I abhor the excellency of Jacob and hate his palaces. Therefore will I deliver up the city with all that is therein. God is not impressed by the amazing architecture, the amazing buildings, the amazing bridges and dams. Although the infrastructure in a lot of places is crumbling, there's still a lot of amazing things accomplished in the United States of America. Hoover Dam, you know, those kind of things. God's not impressed. And he's not impressed as he looks at Israel. He hates pride. And prosperity that leads to arrogance results in destruction. And I'll come back to you in a minute. That's where we are in America today. There's so much pride that even conservatives are a bunch of blowhards. Talking about how proud they are of America. Wait a minute. First of all, the Bible just never tells us to be proud.
Amen.
So what are you proud of? I'm not proud of America right now. I fear for America.
Amen.
I pray for America. God bless America. I pray, bless God, America.
Amen. Amen.
Real quick.
I was just going to say this ancient alien thing that we watch is showing all these old monuments and things from the past, and they look like they were glorious, but they're all destroyed.
Yeah.
Every one of them.
Yeah.
Yeah, destroyed.
As you recall, quite often, the people that made them disappear without a trace at some point.
Yeah, but most of what we read in history, we have to kind of take the word for it, or we'll find little crumbs of evidence that it once existed, like the Hanging Gardens of Babylon, you know. We don't know for sure that they even exist or existed, but we have an idea they probably did because they're talked about so much. But humility, trust in God, and obedience are the keys to peace and prosperity. Now, which of those is America really thriving in right now? Humility, trust in God, obedience. Who's got Proverbs 16:16-19? Brian, go ahead and read that.
How much better is it to get wisdom than gold, and to get understanding rather than to be chosen? Rather to be chosen than silver. The highway of the upright is to depart from evil. He that keepeth his way preserveth his soul. Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Better it is to be of a humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud.
Amen. But that's why a lot of people are selling their souls so that they can get along with the world. Selling their souls. This is what American pride looks like today. Here's an example. This is what a quarter looked like up until this year. Now, it's just a subtle change. But beginning this year, George Washington turned his back on In God We Trust.
Oh.
Now, you think that was on accident?
Oh.
Let me tell you, these people, when they do these things to our money, these go through all kinds of committees, they're studied, etc.
Wow.
Yeah, that's another thing. You look at the difference. I mean, he didn't have a big smile on the other one, but look at it. It's almost a turn down, and he just looks a lot different. And his back is to In God We Trust.
It changed his hair, too.
And previously, in 2007, Obama signed a law to relegate God to tiny little print on the edges of your quarters. But the practice was reversed after protest. But you can find some coins that were printed in that time where In God We Trust is so small that I can't read it.
Yeah.
And it's on the edge of the coin. You'd never know it's there unless someone told you it's there. So back to our text. And it shall come to pass, verse 9, if there remain 10 men in one house, that they shall die, and a man's uncle shall take him up, and he that burneth him, to bring out the bones out of the house, and shall say unto him that is by the sides of the house, is there yet any with thee? And he shall say, no. Then shall he say, hold thy tongue, for we may not make mention of the name of the Lord. In other words, they're going to talk, and then before anybody can even mention the name of the Lord, they're going to cut him off. Why? Because there's been like a 90% casualty rate, and they know it's God. And they don't even want to mention his name for fear that it will invoke or provoke more judgment. Survivors will fear even mentioning God and attracting his attention to the fact that they are still alive. I'm a couple of weeks ahead on our daily devotional, but on one of the devotionals a couple of weeks from now, the fear of the Lord. And the fear of the Lord is a wonderful thing. But the world says, that's terrible that you fear the Lord. And if you think it through, you understand that the world doesn't fear the Lord and they're destroyed as a result. We don't fear him like destroying us and casting us into hell. We're saved. We know we're saved and eternally secure. But we fear the loving chastisement of a father. Amen. And so we don't want to provoke him to have to chastise us. And because of that, we have a living relationship and a confidence of our relationship with him. And so we can face life with confidence. We know we belong to him. But the world just doesn't get that. And many Christians today don't get that. A 90% casualty rate. And then 11:12, for behold, the Lord commandeth, and he will smite the great house with breaches and the little house with clefts. You just think about, we talked about the earthquakes that are happening and everything. Shall horses run upon the rock? In other words, the ground is so broken up that you can't even ride a horse on it. Will one plow there with oxen? It'd be like today trying to plow with a big John Deere tractor whenever the earth is so broken up that you can't even drive on it. And it says, for ye have turned judgment into gall and the fruit of righteousness into hemlock. So homes or houses are condemned. They can't even live in their homes. You can't ride horses or plow with oxen over rock. If you ever tried that, you probably have stories to tell. And it says, therefore, ye have turned judgment into gall and the fruit of righteousness into hemlock. In other words, the courts and religion have become poison. There's no justice. There's no true faith. There's no true prophecy anymore. And then we close there in verses 13 and 14. Oh, we're not closing. There's a couple more verses there. Yeah, that's the last two. Ye which rejoice in a thing of naught, which say, have we not taken to us horns by our own strength? See, they think it's all human. I had a little chit-chat with a guy today, and he's all about human potential, humanism. And how sad it is that you people fear this invisible God in the sky and that you find your worth in his opinion of you whenever humanism says all that matters is your opinion of you. And I said, well, humanism says that when you die, you become nothing but worm food.
Secular humanism.
God has given us eternal life through Jesus Christ. We have an eternal future to look forward to. You have nothing to look forward to except for being eaten and pooped by a worm. That's your future as a humanist. Think of it. Absolutely true. Self-esteem and pride results in total ruin. That's what's killed America today. Everybody is so full of themselves and so full of pride, including their own sin. God gives peace and victory to those with humility toward Him. And that's what we're going to read. First, who's got 1 Peter 5, 5 through 7? Johnny, go ahead and read that.
Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud, and giveth grace to the humble.
Amen.
Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time. Casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you.
See, the world says, no, you don't humble yourself. You lift yourself up. You have pride and confidence and say, I will, which is what Satan did in Isaiah 14. Yeah. Say, I can, I believe in myself. And the Bible says, no, you believe in God and you humble yourself and He will strengthen you and He will, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. It's not me doing it. It's my strength that I receive from Him. It's the wisdom I get from Him. It's the guidance I get from Him. And the world has that completely backwards. By the way, Christians do not trust in military might or personal power, but in Christ. Now, because I do believe this, that a nation that is truly God-fearing will use wisdom and follow God's word, which means you will have a strong military. But your trust isn't in the military. See? So the liberals, they destroy the military and have no trust in God. Yeah, Luke 22:36. So let's get our final readings here. Ephesians 3:14-16. Jessica? Listen close to what she reads here.
For this cause, I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height.
And then who's got 17 through 21? 19. Kim?
I already read 17 through 18. Sorry.
It's all right. Read 17 through 21 again, just so we have the whole...
That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth, the length, and depth, and height, and to know the love of Christ with patches knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto Him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen.
Amen. So it's not about you. It's about you submitting yourself to Him. Amen. It's not about human spirit and human potential. It's about the Spirit of God in you. It's not about your brain and your intellect, but whatever brain and intellect you have, you submit it to God, and then following His mind and His wisdom, then you demonstrate wisdom and are able to use that intellect to His glory. Amen. And then it goes to any skill you develop, or any God-given, as we call it, talent that you have, and when you use that for his purpose and for his glory, then that's when you're going to find that you are a success. And then when you stand before him at the judgment seat of Christ, you'll be rewarded for that. If you're just using whatever talents and abilities you have for your own glory, you get nothing. You end up with nothing but a bonfire. Godless arrogance is insanely foolish. And folks, we're surrounded by it. And we have to be very careful not to get caught up in it.
Yeah.
That includes a lot of stuff going on among Christians. Don't get caught up in it.
Amen.
Even when we said this about the blind man, or was it last week in Zacchaeus? I said this. I have to check my notes, but one of the last two Sundays I pointed out, you have to ignore every single Christian that goes against the Bible.
Amen.
And the world, when they go against the Bible, shouldn't have to be said. But a lot of people need to understand, just because someone's a Christian doesn't mean they're giving you good advice. They go by the book. Amen?
Amen.
All right, let's close with a song. Next week we jump into Amos 7. Turn to page 5 in the praise book.
Yes. Some of the great ones.
Oh, even so, come quickly. Sing and stand if you can. Comes around, you onliners, get your request into bbfohio@protonmail.com if you haven't already, as we say goodbye on 3, 1, 2, 3, see you here, there, or in the air. Good night.